Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, love has joy to see ya.
Yeah. Let the peace take from the
Hey, 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 this is the Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. Sorry for the dead air we had there. We're back on the air. You can go to www.martinluthergkingrepublicans.com to check out what's coming up. You can find my book, Tillman Family Press.com. That's Tillman Handbook of Great Black American Patriots. Is selling off the shelves. There is a movement coming up. Stay tuned. The Martin Luther King Republicans are out to save the children. This child body mutation will cease. Follow us at the Martin Luther King Republicans. Sign up there for our newsletter. You can get Tillman's Handbook of Great Black American Patriots at TillmanFamilyPress.com or on Amazon or any elsewhere you get your great books sold. Now, I was playing Parliament standing on the verge of getting it on. And that's like a theme song that we're going to be moving on. Because we're standing on the verge of getting it on. Now, this is a little private commentary till the alderman gets in the station. But a movement is at front. It's all about the babies. It's saving the children. We are here to save the children. We are on the verge of getting it on. I'm going to run that track back until my mama gets back on the air. This is the Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. Jimmy Lee Tillman, the second president and founder of the Martin Luther Republicans. You can check out my book, Tillman's Handbook of Great Black American Patriots, at TillmanFamilyPress.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, or anywhere where you get your books from. Hit it, Ed. Hold on. Ain't got the thing together. Well, we got some problems. We got some technical difficulties going on, I see, with the setup. So let me see if I can pull that last clip, that cut that we had up. Oh, man. I thought everything was rolling. All right, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go.
Here we go.
Come on, y'all. Let me hear you. What you doing? Are you getting it home? Are you getting it home? People! Rocky Broadway. Hey, all right now. All right. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing this morning? Woo! Say it loud, say it loud. I just like to hear Jane Brown talk about the camel walk. Some of y'all don't know all about the camel walk. That's a historical thing about the camel walk for black folks. Black mashed potatoes, the horse, the pony, all that stuff. You know, we used to love to dance. And that's one of the things, our music and our dance kept us together. And those who went close to Africa can understand why, because one of the things they do is a lot of dancing. Children be right there dancing right along. I was thinking this morning, you know, a lot of stuff. You know, I've been thinking a lot this week. For those who don't know, you know, Renard Robinson passed, and I think his memorial is Tuesday at St. Sabina. I won't be able to be here because I'm going to Memphis to celebrate my chief of staff, Robin Brown. Renault was, you know, Renault, who was Renault? Renault was, he and Buzz Palmer was the founder of the African American Trauma League. If you got Sunday's trip, I think Sunday's trip might have did a better piece on it, Sunday or Saturday. And, you know, when Renault was in the, it wasn't easy to fight Richard J. Daley, but he did. And they had him walking. See, a lot of y'all don't know about the police station. It was on Leavenworth State where you see them houses. And they could take you, because I know because they've taken me, they could take you from City Hall up under, you know, them stairs of City Hall, right, go like going to the basement. It really went straight down. They had pit wagons parked up under there to take you straight to the Leavenworth State. But anyway, the houses are there now. That's what they built the police station on 35th in Michigan. So they showed a picture of him, and a Tribune did good. The best article. The article is better than the Sun-Times. And it was because they had interviewed and followed Renault over the years. And Renault had to daily had him marching in the alley, put him in the alley, patrol the alley, because he dare to fight him. He and Buzz Palmer. Buzz Palmer, I talk about Alice Palmer. I know y'all tired of hearing about Alice's death, but I have a reason for telling y'all that, because a lot of our warriors are leaving. Alice Palmer's wife made her transition a few weeks ago, and Buzz had already made his. But they had wasn't no time to, you know, it took bravery to do that kind of fight, the bravery that a lot of our people had, but I got to see that they have it now. But, and Renault was the founder of African American Patrolman League. I remember when after the snowstorm, after Daley died, and they put Belandick here, and we decided to go with Jane Byrne. Renault was one of the reasons, along with Jack Grimshaw, and it was kind of one of the reasons that I helped support an organized Area B for Jane Byrne. And when Jane Byrne got in, of course, she went to the Iba Cabal, which is another story. But Renault, you know, they never really, one thing about these people, they stay on you. They don't forget. We the only one forget. And Renault was strong man. He worked with Harold. And I remember when they put pressure on Renault, telling him what he had done, and he was at the CHA because Jane Byrne appointed him there. And so Harold let him go. I remember how painful it was. And I think Renault might have said, you know, it might be better that I go on. And that was during the time that they also came out to Jim Montgomery. Most folks don't talk about Jim Montgomery. Jim Montgomery was the first black corporation council person. And, of course, they got Jim Montgomery from, they came up with a bunch of stuff that he dis A, B, C, D, which I won't. And so he had to end up, leaving too. But Renault, my prayers and stuff go out to his family. Just another warrior gone. another person who's part of Chicago history and black history who have left, which made me today, yeah, make sure y'all call people for the 7 o'clock hour because I'm going to have Attorney Rose Sanders on from Selma, from Alabama. Rose, we'll get to that later. She's one of the lawyers working with the black farmers and been out there working with them. But she also was the one that, had it not been for Rose, we probably would have forgot about Selma. She's the one that really began the mobilization and organization a long time ago to commemorate the Selma to Montgomery March across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. I think over the last few years, she might have turned it over to somebody else. She also was the first one to put that Civil Rights Museum down there about Selma. But she's been around a long time. But I'm going to have her on at the 7 o'clock hour. And you need to really listen because you might have some families down there who have some farms. And I might have some farms outside of Illinois. And you need to listen to see about these billions of dollars she's trying to make sure that black folks get. Okay? But as I thought about Renault, I thought about memories, you know. The things that memories are gifts from God that death cannot destroy. And when you hold on to the memories, and my question to the audience, and I'm going to let y'all do a lot of talking because you couldn't talk last week. I'm going to let you at this 7 o'clock hour. I'm going to let you just kind of talk because when I think about my memories, I think about what I had and what I went through from McGowan Street to Bell Street to Pensacola to my mama, my grandmother, and to the family and all the stuff and the strength and stuff that I got. And seeing a black community that loved me and encouraged me. So what kind of memories are we giving our children right now? The most painful thing I have is that I can't believe that the black community is allowing our babies not to get educated, not fighting for their rights to be educated, not fighting for them to be educated. Or do they really care about the future? And we need to discuss that. That's our future. And when you look on the television and you see Garcia, who's an immigrant, and I don't know whether he said he was naturalized. I don't know when he got naturalized. He came in the 70s. But I don't blame him. He was on TV saying they want a Latino on the Supreme Court. And you look at Martinez as the clerk of the circuit court, which is a place that a lot of blacks always worked. And people called me and told me about the blacks have really been disappearing over there. I don't know. They're not willing to come on and give me the stats. There's not too much I can say about it. But that was a seat that blacks usually worked in the court system, you know, with the clerks of the circuit court and all that. And when Dorothy Brown gave up her seat, she really didn't support the black candidate for the last 2 weeks, which was kind of, you know, and I kind of said something about it on the radio, and I talked to her about it in person, because when Dorothy Brown decided to run, we kind of, our organization was the first ones to embrace her, and we worked very hard to get her in. And when she decided to give up her seat, I don't know what happened, but I'm trying to tell you a trend here. So Martinez, who's the clerk of the circuit court, who's up, coming up for re-election, and very quietly, nobody's saying anything. And I'm not for or against Laura, but I didn't see everybody was all over. I mean, it was going to run. It was 1,001 folks running for mayor. But that's a very powerful position, the clerk of the circuit court. And I would hope that someone would file petitions for that. It's like we are very selective about who we file. Just like we didn't, the city clerk, nobody run against the city clerk. Partee used to be over that. Long time ago. But if you look at the angle here, and I'm not, I didn't really think about that because I can't blame these folks for trying to come get what we built. But we can let these folks guide us. I turn off TV sometimes because some black folks who talking like they for, even on the television, well, you know, that was racism. They don't do nothing. They get off those TVs and they go right onto their white community and deal with. And they live in another world, but they have our people so uptight. also, as we keep our eyes on all of this mess, even down to reparation, they have destroyed the whole thing of repairing that damage. And that's on purpose, too. And the private companies did that, so you can take your eyes off of them, because we did have our eyes right on them. All those companies, the insurance, the railroads, the banks. And, in fact, some of the banks have even paid off some of the so-called quote-unquote leadership and reparation. When they got folks, we want this, we want that, and this is crazy. With no structure, no nothing. Give me my eyes. All that is just stupid. I was talking to Dr. Anderson. He told me he's just embarrassed the way these Negroes are acting about the reparations. I said, no, because we had a whole structure. He was part of my team to really go after these folks. But I think as they keep us all confused and they educate their children and really began to take over a lot of the things that black folks used to do. I mean, I was sickened to see him the other day talking about, well, we want a Supreme Court. You know, hey, y'all, black community, the descendants of enslaved blacks, built the country. And there's a relationship between the descendants of enslaved blacks and white Anglo-Saxons. So they keep y'all divided from the white Anglo-Saxon and all the other stuff. So you got a new group. We just walk around and look. Have come to the country and decided that they were going to shape America the way they want to shape it. With their flags, but then they'll hold up and say, they know the Constitution. They don't teach Constitution in our schools anymore. Geography, music, science, how you going to be a scientist, all this stuff. And all of the things that we struggle and we built and the fights we put on, we kind of pull back and all we talking about is systemic racket. I cannot stand it because it have no meaning no more. It has no meaning because what they did is tacked on a bunch of other stuff with the racism and all of these stuff that took away from us. Now, so you used to couldn't go down to the court without seeing black folks everywhere, but just start watching and all other folks' places. So we was a caretaker of this country. Even after slavery, we began to do these jobs, and you see our folks working and doing stuff. If you look and see who's taking care of this country now, then you will understand. All the jobs that you all won't do or we won't look at, whether it be in the hotels, whether it be government, the caretakers of the United States of America is not black folks. Because they got you thinking about, you know, even I heard, y'all going to say, here I go. I heard the vice president, we're not going to stop this racism. What happened to us? There's no racism happened to her. Slavery happened to her. No. We built a country that your mother and father felt good about coming to. So we're so busy being upset about that we are not paying attention to our children. Only when the memories of our children is if some whites leading them to tear up everything and to riot and to help get rid of the natural family. You know, they said one of the things that was on BLM when they first organized was to get rid of the nuclear family, which is going on. So we're so busy doing that we're not looking after taking care of our children, and we're not looking at the contracts. There's so many contracts. And we're just not looking at the things we need to do. It's unacceptable that in Chicago and also Baltimore, Detroit, New York, most of your major cities, they have decided that the children, the education for the children is not working. And they're dumbing them down. They can't read, they can't write. But yet my taxes and your taxes are going up and everybody in the school system is making money. And that's why those other folks separate themselves from us. I told y'all about a school last week, and I told y'all to look it up, and I don't know whether you looked it up or not. And I told you that the head of the Board of Education now was a science teacher over there. You don't have science teachers in our schools anymore. And I tell y'all, look at the ERIC, Eric, S-O-L-O-R-I-O Academy, and you're not going to see any black folks in there. And that's certainly where the person who's going to be over the Board of Education came from. Now, when the Chinese decide that they want to build a new school, because they really don't want their children going to Philip Dunbar to SOP. The money came from the city. The money came from the state. Because they understand the importance of education. When you're sick and you go to the hospital, who are your nurses? Malcolm X have a nursing program over there, second to none. That's the school Malcolm X and the black community fought to get. But you don't see our children in the learning or getting any degrees or anything. Daly College has some good ones, too. They have a lot of schools with vocational training, all those other things that our children are not in. And the question is why. And I think that we're not taking care of our youth. Oh, we're telling we're going to get these jobs, summer programs for y'all. We're going to do this so-and-so. That somebody else get paid to do all that, too. But look at the schools. God is going to hold us account. And this is the first time in the history of black people that we didn't think education was important. There was an article. The Urban League did an article, too, how bad our schools are. You need to get the article. But there also was an article about the southern schools and how they are moving up. That's why I had Miss Erica Jones on a few weeks ago about what they decided to do. But you go in our schools, it's really just the most important thing they teach our children about is sex. And they really, you know, you just mentally ill. You need some help. Take this pill and get rid of your, you know, getting rid of puberty and all. And you have a right and all that sick stuff that black folks, when you see a child act up alone, when I was growing up, you knew that it wasn't no black child because we didn't have that mess. But there's a separation, and they spend so much time banning. I saw, I think where the president was somewhere, fighting against banning books. And these are the books that's teaching all this sex and all this other stuff to our children. But there's nobody stepping up talking about the education of that black child. If memory serves me correctly, we were not allowed to read. If you was caught reading, you either got killed or something happened, you got separated. That's how Frederick Douglass got separated from his master. When his master saw him reading, he got rid of him. And he had learned how to read through the master's, his master's wife, because reading the Bible. That's the hunger reading. When you look through history and you see all of our people, what they did and how they, Howard University, how they built that, how they built hospitals, all of the things. I'm going to get somebody on from Pontywood. In Pontywood, Mississippi, that's a black boarding school, been there forever. But when you look at the education of our children, and I'm talking to the ministers too, we don't have to take this. Y'all can start having schools tutors programs in these schools. Everywhere we need to do that. Because this makes no sense. These children cannot read, and they go to school. Well, it's the parents' fault. I'm not saying that we don't play a role, but most of the time when these parents bring those students to school, they be trying to teach them the best because they are a generation now that was not educated too. But for them to sit in school for 8 hours or 9 hours and can't read, they should know something. Well, something wrong with them. Put them on medication. So what is the public school doing, this public institution? Is it doing like they used to warehouse people in the public mental health, just warehouse them? And in Illinois, it was Governor Thompson who closed down all the, that'll be in my book too, because I got the letter I sent to him, the mental health centers and sent everybody back to their parents. Said, let the family handle it. But it is a shame. And as they teach our children are confused. When they have satanic after-school programs, that our children go learn about Satan and stuff, and you think your child is going to tutor it, and they're teaching them about Satan. If we don't do something, if we don't do something about our children, you can dance, you can do all you want to do. You can go and get your eyelashes and get your shoes and smack and pack and all that other stuff. But if we don't educate our children, this school system stinks. Before the last board president went out, they was going to, raise our taxes to the max because they needed to help handicapped or whatever. This is children. I said, that's baloney. Whatever it was, I might have to, and it was really so they can be able to help these children who come in here and can't read and stuff. And they are putting these children reading and writing, making sure they get acclimated into America. I mean, we are not taking care of this country like we used to. We was everywhere. We too busy being hurt and hollering about this and hollering about that. And it's reprogrammed in our mind over and over again. But a black child can't read. Yes, a few of them. The teacher's children don't go to those schools. The preacher's children don't go to those schools. Nobody of importance, as they call themselves, send those children. They go to these specialty schools that they pay to a private school or your tax dollars that have the specialty schools, right? But the masses of black children are not reading, writing, and they're not learning. Just in Chicago, there's a vast amount of places and things to learn. But they don't get to do that either. My granddaughter, I'm going to have her on one day, Dorothy. I'll have a STEAM camp where she really works with these youth. She got leadership youth. That's the group she sent to took to Africa with her. And she got the young people that they work with. It was amazing. They took them to the Museum of Science and Industry yesterday and go through all that stuff, education. Those kids' eyes was all open, but it was an educational thing to show them. We have to do a whole segment on education. I think when my children was in school, they said we didn't care either. Well, we did care. We didn't understand that system. And once we understood that system, we fought. And they made sure they changed the system so they can keep control. So we don't deal with our children. Memories are a gift from God. The death cannot destroy. What memories are we giving our children? Let me say this. You can make all the money you want to. You can't be buried with it. It used to be that when black folks made money or did something, they came back to help rebuild their community. We have more money and more opportunities now in this country than ever before, more than what our ancestors that died here built off of what they had. But these folks take their money and they run. And there's nothing when they die but somebody, they leave all their money to some white institution or something happen like that. There is enough money within the black community that we could be building housing, we could be building schools, but it's have to be, we have to be committed. And most of those same folks who are making all of this money made it because the masses sacrificed and the masses fought for that. And then once they got, they put their feet, then those who are elected, anointed, or appointed because of the masses. I'm in pain about black children because who must hate black child? Education. If you can't read and you can't write, then you do act up. We have schools that's not educating our children, and we're not doing a damn thing about it. At 7 o'clock, we're going to have Attorney Rose Sanders from Selma, Alabama on. Y'all make sure y'all listen. She's from Alabama. She worked on a lot of things. I'm going to have her on to talk about the farmland and how much about some stuff about the farms and stuff. So make sure you listen. But I'm going to take a break now. When I come back, I want to talk to y'all. If y'all don't want to talk, so fine with me. I'll just keep talking. When we talk about something serious, our people pull back. But if you're talking about somebody, a systemic racism, a Trump, a this and that, I got a lot to say. But when we talk about the very foundation of taking care of our children, y'all go away and get kind of nervous. Talk of Chicago, 69 of Villain. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, right here at the great city of Chicago at the great WVON radio station, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook and group Facebook, and we're also on Blog Talk if you miss us. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me about memories and what we're going to do with our children. When I come back, I'm going to take some calls. Okay, I love you. Be right back. I'll be right back. Get your...
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay. Quality conversation, protecting, preserving, and preparing our past, present, and future. Sunday evening at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Pete is happily scratching an instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery. So even though the leak in his canoe turned his fishing trip into a fishing dip, Pete's walking on air because he knows anyone could win in an instant. Play today. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 years or older to play. Game odds available at IllinoisLottery.com.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's SkyRizi. Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With SkyRizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months. And SkyRizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hi, I'm Attorney Ernesto Borges. I'd like to invite you to join me for the Borges Report for lively discussions about legal matters, politics, government, entertainment, and the topics that concern you in your life. Start your Sunday the Borges way with the Borges Report.
The Borges Report with Ernesto Borges, Sunday mornings at 9 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Loud said loud, we're black and we're proud, we're black and we're proud. Are we still beating our head up against the wall? We are still, we have worked for other folks to come in and take this country, and because we are not engaged. We got to get engaged. I got two Maurices up there. I tell you, okay, I got it. We're back. Talk of Chicago, 69 at Pavilion, number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.pavilion.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, I guess, Ebony. But we also on Blog Talk if you miss us. We're talking about memories. We're talking about what are we going to do about our children. We're talking about how to keep us so confused as adults, and we're looking at the wrong thing and how we used to take care of this country. I'm talking about not just from slavery, but from working. We was all over the place, and now you can't find us because they got us looking at some other stuff. And you got new people who's coming into this country. I don't blame them. They're reshaping it the way they want to. When I see Garcia, naturalized, I guess it was naturalized immigrant who's in Congress, he's someone, now he wants Supreme Court. I mean, they have decided what they want to do. We have Martinez coming up. And it's not just that. It's all over. You look at Washington, and you look at how folks are really reshaping. And then they put Negroes in office, That woman was so embarrassing the other day when I was watching C-SPAN just hollering, not even asking the question pertaining to the issues. Just want to keep hollering about systemic and what happened to us and look at. Well, we know that. But in the meantime, there's a question on the floor. Can you ask something about the question that's on the floor? Because most of them don't know the Constitution and they don't know laws. We should make sure that people who represent us should understand their jobs. I guess I gave you the phone number, Talker Chicago 6979-773-591-1690. We're streaming live. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio. Coffee tea in a conversation with me, and I'm going to go to the phone. My board is lit up. Got a few lines open, and I'm going to answer these. Try to take as many as I can before 7 o'clock because we're going to have Rose Sanders from Selma, Alabama on, but we will have, let you get a chance to take calls from her too, okay? So Cleveland. Good morning, Cleveland.
Good morning, Dorothy. Dorothy, I wanted to come on when you get Rose. I'm Commissioner Little from Utah, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
I'm his eldest son. I wanted to talk with you and Rose. Could you patch me back in, put me in when Rose come on?
You can hold on all that time if you want to, or you can call back out when I say it's time to call.
Dorothy, I don't mind holding on. I don't mind holding on.
Dorothy.
Wait.
You want to talk to Rose now? Let me go to the other folks who are talking. But you can call
okay,
back if you want to talk to Rose, too.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks so much, George.
Okay. I'll put him on hold. Mama D.
Oh, well, hello. Greetings to you.
Oh, good to talk to you, my sister. How you doing?
I've been involved with what they are doing. This is a change of subject, but the senior citizens across the street from the Wallsworth, they are being terrorized. They can't walk the street.
Oh my God!
That's that school
where they got those immigrants, right?
Right. The first school I ever attended when we migrated from Arkansas. But the Wallsworth, the first thing, I have attended three press conferences dealing with the situation. But the Wallsworth is right in the back of the senior citizens' building. And
these folks don't care, Mama D. These folks don't care.
But it's not about what they don't care.
Well, wait a minute, Mama D. I heard something else. You tell me whether this is true. I heard. Mama D, wait a second. The questions that you involved. Someone called and told me that I think it was last week that them suckers put out a transform out there and put everybody in the dark. Is that true?
I don't know anything about that. But
okay.
I talked to the residents in that building. It's named after Mildred Harris, who sits on the CHA board. And it's named after her. That's
River.
What the building is named after. But they were saying that they drag race and they park on, I don't know how to get the cars, but they park on the side, on the sidewalk.
These folks scared to touch these folks for some reason.
The senior citizens could not get out of their building.
Okay, well, you got the information out now. Look. They scared us somehow or another. They're not making these folks uphold the law. They're not making these folks stand to the standard of law they make you and I do. How in the world is
they
anybody
have doing? They've been fighting with the police. Two people have died, one from a drug overdose in the Wallsworth building. They're keeping it quiet about
heard
all
about
the
that.
Stuff that's going on. The padlock was on the senior citizens' gate to keep them from coming up in the yard, leaving their liquor bottles and everything else is
okay,
going
we got it, Mama D. We got the gist of what you were saying, because I want to talk to other folks.
There's a grammar school and a vacant lot, and
okay.
They went over that, too.
All right.
But I wanted to talk about Sankofa means looking backwards to go forward.
Okay.
Now, in 2000, the foreign-born Latinos were 45%. And only 8.5% was native born. However, the blacks was 13.
Mama, you got 10 seconds because I gotta go.
Anyway, we need to do something. Don't take our children to school on the first day. Take them to the library and read about the Dred Scott decision.
Okay, I gotta go now, Mama D. I love Mama D, but I should have got her last, but because I gotta get these other folks who on this phone. I understand what she's saying. We act like we scared vermin. We act like we scared to do something. I think it's illegal to have them in the police station. It's illegal and it's unsafe, Burma.
Oh, good morning, Dorothy Tillman.
Good morning.
I hope it's a great day. I don't want to take a lot of your time. I just wanted to call to invite our community to come out for a treatment, not trauma summit today. This is a campaign supporting the fight to reopen our public mental health centers.
Okay,
and establish a citywide non-police mobile crisis response
Where
program.
Where is it going to be?
This is going to be at the First Presbyterian Church of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
The address, 6400 South Kimbark Avenue. And it's from 12 noon to 3 p.m.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I'm just trying to get some calls through here before I have to get off, before I got to go. Jacob?
Wow, good morning. A good blessing to you. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Well, real quick, I know you got to go. Great. Yeah, it's not that we, elders, not that we disengage. They don't care. We disengage. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm missing your point, Jacob. I'm trying to see what your point is because it didn't come across clear.
You said before I was about to say it.
I missed your first point. You said it's not that we're disengaged. I didn't understand you at first.
It's not that we are disengaged.
Okay.
They don't, we are engaged or disengaged. They still have treated us this way for 400. This is our land of what is prophesied in the Bible that we come. It's our captivity land, and it has been. And we engage in everything. We engage in politics. We got Chicago. I don't know how much Chicago needs. They've got every position that you need.
But we don't have them anymore. Some have happened. You know, we was, but now something is going on here, and that's my question.
We got the mayor. Yeah, we got the mayor. We got the mayor, right?
You said mayor. Jacob, I can't touch that. I tell you,
it's a fact. It's a fact. We got everything, and we ain't got to worry about the Mexicans. We got it all. What more do you need? They're doing that what you got. What the credit got to give you?
You said we got everything. We're everywhere. And why is it like this? That's your question.
Yeah,
so don't blame the folks we put in place.
They had voted for the $51 million to add on to these immigrants. And one of the aldermen was talking about she conflicted. Hurt people don't hurt people. And she's talking about what a war don't have.
Well, I know she there now. We got a he there. He gave $51 million. Go on.
It's like if we don't have this, why don't you present something for your award? When are we going to have something? Why don't y'all present it? Y'all got all the power
you
need.
Baby. Bye-bye. Anita?
Hey, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy, these are spiritual darknesses.
Huh?
The white community. This is a spiritual darkness.
Yes, it is spiritual.
It is highly. People operate like prostitutes now, or women that don't collect money but want benefits. And men are like that too. They're called leeches. They don't want anything of their own. They want something someone else has.
There's a move to feminize our men. And it's like people are afraid to talk about it. Look, I don't deal with folks' sexuality. That's their business. I don't peep in folks' bedroom. But these folks have started doing things, and now people are scared to talk about it. Anita, they're talking about chest feed instead of breast feed.
All right.
Doesn't make it. I mean, it's so much stuff that's crazy. That's that spiritual
duality
we're going on, because you're going to take what God made and she said, we getting chest feed? I breastfed 5 babies. And all of my children breastfed their babies. All of my grandchildren was breastfed. So I don't understand how you going to tell my children now, my little kids, listen to that, a man can breastfeed? Come on. And we're not saying nothing to preachers. Nobody else saying nothing. And then you take a child. You take a child and tell that child at 7, we need to cut your breast off or castrate you. And nobody's saying that. There's something wrong. Adults, you do what adults want to do. That's their business.
Who's teaching the children? The white women?
And
you're going to listen to her logic with no God in it, and then you're going to get what you get. That's a leech that'll never stop sucking because she'll never do what God tell her to do, and she's going to always come after the God-fearing for what she wants. And I'm tired of them. I'm not paying for not a darn thing for white people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to have to let you go one sec and about, give you about 30 more seconds. Anita, I'm in pain, too, the way our children are not being protected. They don't allow the parents up in the schools, so you don't know what's going on. And I think that anybody going to have your children for 8 hours, they should be tested for drugs. They should be tested for their mental capacity. And children, if you're a teacher, you should at least be proficient in the subject you're teaching. And we're not. They got folks up here, they're having sex with, some of them having sex with the children, the rest of them talking stuff, and it's a mess. And you know what's so funny, Anita? I never thought I'd live to see the day that a black mother, a mother's period, would not fight for their children or not fight back or let this kind of stuff happen. It's painful.
Elijah Muhammad told the men and the women how to take care of their children and the family. Don't get raped, beat, enslaved, and we keep listening. The white woman is a slave. She lives wrong. She's enslaved to the white man, and she uses you to take care of herself. And
well, there's some
Elijah Muhammad.
And you never pick a broad brush because there's always some that's not. But a lot of them have taken our children and led them in the wrong direction. It is something. But I blame black women for a lot of problems that's going on. Y'all gonna get mad at me because this is the first time in the history that black women did not fight back. He who rocked the cradle rules the world. We are sitting by accepting this stuff, and I blame us for a lot of this stuff, Anita.
Elijah Muhammad told the black women how to go in a home, sew, cook. He never told them they couldn't get educated. He never told them that.
Oh, no.
He told them everything, but you have to accept there's a structure from God and that the black woman wants to be making the money and being the man.
You can't be a man and
a woman.
Okay. I got to go now, Anita. Thank you for calling.
All right.
You know, the thing about all of this, I got to go because everybody know why I sing the blues now with this stuff going on. You know, the thing about it, I watch a lot of animal shows. Every animal take care of their children, and they're young. They will eat you alive. A scared dog will eat you up if you mess with their young. But we don't have that. I don't understand what's going on here. Can't no man feed no babies. The CDC say you can chest feed. They give these men pills to feed babies if they adopt babies. I mean, there's some sickness. That's like taking away God-made man. Don't take away God. You can't say our father because that's male. I mean, that's male, female. If you want to do what you do, you do what you want to do, but you have no right to confuse our children like this. I want to know where the black preachers with this attack on the God. I want to know where are we as black women with attack on our children. Talk of Chicago 1690-773-5916. We're streaming live, www.viewin.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, and we're on group Facebook. You get us on Blog Talk if you got Blog Talk, because everybody wonder why we sing the blues. They trick you out of taking care. And you sitting down, you giving up your economic, your education, your political. Hey, come on, y'all. We got to do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Come on, BB. And we did everything through all of that. What's wrong with us? But those who have reaped the benefits, they have abandoned our community. I call on all of them to come back. That's what every other group do. They come back to their community. Those who don't use us and use our fight, they're taken away and walked away. They have a responsibility because the money they're making is because the mass is falling. Woo! I'll be right back with Rose Sanders, y'all. Come on, BB, I'm good music.
Yes,
hey, my mama love the blues. Hey. Woo! The blues and country music is cousins. That's the only true American music, blues, jazz, country music, gospel. Hey, this ain't kicking them out, BB. Hey, I'll be right back, y'all.
That's the right gentleman. Call me to the conversation with me. I've been around a long time, and I paid my dues, y'all. I'll be back.
Which is historic. The country that we have the right to protest.
The woman is among 1,300 people who claim they were unlawfully arrested or beaten by New York City police during the summer of 2020 while protesting the police killing of George Floyd in Minnesota. A $13 million lawsuit settlement means most of the protesters in the suit will get about $10,000 each. Under the agreement, the city and NYPD do not admit to any wrongdoing.
Several former Northwestern football players are coming forward with allegations describing a culture of hazing within the program.
The ex-players detail the emotional, physical, and sometimes sexual abuse they suffered while playing football for the Wildcats.
The abuse of hazing was so entrenched in the Northwestern football culture that even some of our coaches took part in it.
High-profile civil rights attorney Ben Crump and a team of lawyers representing more than 15 ex-student athletes are planning a lawsuit. I'm Perry Williams.
Black people are disproportionately affected by mass shootings in major metropolitan areas in the United States. A study in the Journal of American Medical Association Surgery shows researchers at Tulane University analyzed data relating to 51 of the largest metropolitan areas, including reports from 2015 to 2019 pertaining to over 800 shooting massacres compiled by the Gun Violence Archive. The report found these events were more likely to occur in areas with higher black populations compared to predominantly white communities. Chicago had the greatest number of mass shootings during the period, with 141, ending in nearly 100 deaths and about 600 injuries.
Longtime food justice activist Jim Embry of Richmond, Kentucky, lives on a 30-acre farm with animals, fruit trees, and orchards. The property is located in what was once an African-American community founded after slavery was abolished. That farm helped propel Embry's work, which focuses on educating people about sustainability. 74-year-old Embry is the founder and director of Sustainable Communities Network and the founder of the Kentucky Black Farmers Cooperative, which advocates for farmers of color and the displaced through awareness for equitable economic development. In March, Embry was awarded for his work by the James Beard Foundation. I'm Terry McCready along with Kevin Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Preparation to accept the parental role has critical effects on the maternal adjustment and transition to adulthood, especially for teenage mothers. Transitioning into motherhood requires physical, psychological, social, and cognitive preparedness. Hi, this is Dana Devine, host of the Equal Health, Equal Hope show. Many teenage mothers are not ready to become a mother. That's our topic this Saturday. Join us Saturdays at 11 a.m. Listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
Burst Into Books is hosting their second annual Words of Wonder Literary Festival at the Dr. Conrad Warrill Track and Field Center on Saturday, July 29th from 11 a.m. to 5. Interested in writing a book? Attend their interactive writing workshop. Enjoy animated storytelling. Experience story-based dance and African and indigenous style drumming. But that's not all. Enjoy an incredible lineup of live music, delicious food, giveaways, and so much more. The Words of Wonder Literary Festival is happening Saturday, July 29th at the Dr. Conrad Warrill Center, 10201 South Cottage Grove Avenue. Sign up on Eventbrite. It's free, and all ages are welcome. Words of Wonder Literary Festival, where imagination comes to life.
Blood banks in Chicago are critically low, but you can make a difference. WVON is proud to partner with Loretto Hospital for their annual blood drive on Friday, July 28th from 11 to 3 p.m. Join Loretto Hospital Foundation, Versity Blood Center, Senator Kimberly Lightford, and the men of New Pi Chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity on their mission to save lives as part of their annual summer screening series. This is Matt McGill. I'll be broadcasting live live on July 28th, beginning at noon from Loretto Hospital at 645 South Central Avenue. This annual blood drive is your chance to make a direct impact on the lives of those in need. Blood donors give hope, healing, and a second chance at life. You can also take advantage of their kidney and diabetes screening by the National Kidney Foundation. Loretto Hospital is on a life-saving mission, and we're proud to help. Know your wellness status. I'll see you Friday, July 28th at Loretto Hospital, 645 South Central Avenue from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Let's unite for this great cause to give back to our community.
This is P-Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense. So bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
When I heard someone refer to me as Shirley with the mole, I became so frustrated. I started looking up mole removal. I kept reading stories of people whose moles came back or ended up as permanent scars. That's until I came across the Black Skin Institute. Their scarless mole removal procedure is permanent. Because of the Black Skin Institute, I am no longer Shirley with the mole. I am Shirley with the most.
I'm Dr. Tinsley. I invented scarless mole removal to help people of color with irritating moles. For the love of your skin, call the Black Skin Institute. 442-NO-MOLES. 442-NO-MOLES.
WVON 1450.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years.
It's the icon of American radio. WVON, Berlin, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
Days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop, y'all. Dr. King said, I don't mind because I've looked up and I've seen the promised land. He allowed him to go. But Dr. King, knowing him like a father, that when he said that we're going to get there. He really thought those who would reap the education and political and economic benefits would give back like anybody else. It is 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the world, to take that deep breath. It's time to take that deep breath because I'm excited. I almost skipped some of this, but y'all would have got me because I'm excited to have my sister Rose Sanders on. Take a deep breath, y'all. Come on. It's that time. Black, 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 black. Come on, Justin. We do three for the Trinity. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? Am I black enough for you?
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for
That's
us.
Right.
No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation.
That's why I got this sister on, because she understands. Yeah.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right.
Get the language right. Get the language right. Dr. King said get the language right, y'all.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and I'm beautiful. That's the Dr. King. That's the leader I know. I'm black and I'm beautiful and I'm proud of. We're back, y'all, at our 7 o'clock hour. You know, I'm just so excited. I can't hardly wait to get my sister on. But we're back at our 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk of Chicago 69 Review In. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me right here at the Great Review In. I'm on the 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.reviewin.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on Blog Talk. If you miss us, and y'all, we got something. We know we got something for y'all. I'm so happy to have my sister with me this morning. And I told y'all what we're going to do here. I'm going to let Attorney Rose Sanders talk and explain. And then after we get through, then we will take questions. Not a long statement, but questions. I know I got one man wasted 6 o'clock talk to Attorney Sanders. I want to welcome you, Attorney Rose Sanders, to Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me. How you doing this morning? Are you on? Is she there?
I am fine. You played one of my favorite speeches by Dr. King.
Uh-huh.
We have to write our own emancipation. Thank you. You fired me up this morning.
I
want to
fire you up.
That.
I want to introduce you, though. I want to introduce this Attorney Rose Sanders from Selma, Alabama, my sister, who really have been working hard on behalf of black people for a long time. I want to first of all thank you for after the Selma movement we all had left, how you just picked that mantle up and it was you who started that annual march across that bridge and how you put the Civil Rights Museum together to keep that history alive. Had you not done that, we wouldn't even be going to Selma every first Sunday in March. I want to thank you for that. And that's along with a lot of other stuff that you give you your flowers, work on behalf of black folks and have really taken a lot of, you know, those of us who work for black folks get our butt kicked and talked about and everything else, but you never stop. And when you call, when you called me the other day, and you was telling me about the black farmers, and I know how long you've been working on this with the black farmers, trying to get they do. I mean, it's been a long time. I thought that my audience, who people listen to me from across this country, across the world, really, on our heart and the other. But I wanted you to really talk about it. I'm going to give you time just to talk. Whatever you want to talk about, let this be a classroom that you're teaching Attorney Sanders. And you're going to talk and tell the folks what it is, all of it, and how the money, anything you want. And then we'll take calls, my last 10 minutes of my show, from my audience that's lighting up my board. Attorney Rose Sanders, hey, my audience is yours. Go on, teach my sister.
Thank you, my sister. First, let me just thank you. You've been on that battlefield for a long time. And it is so easy for us to forget the people who have brought us thus far. Well, we remember Dr. King, and some of us have forgotten him. But I wanted just to thank you and the warriors in Chicago, like Jesse Jackson, Diane Nash, Reverend Wright, our minister. I just appreciate all that y'all do. Right to the point, back in 1998, we filed the first lawsuit in the Pittsburgh case that generated about $1 billion, but it was not enough for all that the losses that black farmers have suffered. So we came back with a Pittsburgh 2, and we included more people, but still not enough. And that $50,000 that most people got was grossly insufficient. But there were groups that continued to lobby and to fight for the black farmer, including groups like the Federation of Southern Cooperatives Groups in Tennessee, and even Dr. Boyd. Many groups are in North Carolina, one of my favorite farm organizations. But anyway, finally, with President Biden in the Inflation Reduction Act, he was able to put $2 billion for farmers. Now, let me go back and explain why it includes all farmers. Prior to that, there was an attempt to forgive the loans of black farmers. Black farmers alone, just black farmers. Well, guess what our white brothers and sisters did? They filed a lawsuit claiming reverse discrimination. It's amazing. In a country that discriminated against black people, not only discriminated, but enslaved and segregated for over 300 years. And even though white farmers were given million acres of land under the Homestead Act, and we were given hardly nothing, they felt that somehow they had been violated. So when it came to the Inflation Reduction Act, this is my personal opinion, that the president found that in order to circumvent another lawsuit against black farmers who had been systematically discriminated against, that it was best in this bill to include all farmers. So in this bill, it's a part of the inflation process, a program. In this bill, all farmers are included. Mm-hmm. If you were discriminated against for any reason, whether it was your race, your sexual orientation, your religion, your gender, your youth, your disability, many farmers were discriminated against. And Lord knows if they were black, a woman, and had a disability, you know mm-hmm. they called hell.
Yeah.
So this process began last Friday. It is not a lawsuit. It's not a class action like Pickman 1 and 2. It's not a lawsuit like the Women Hispanic lawsuit. This is an administrative process. And the deadline is October the 31st. According to the way it was set up, you do not have to have a lawyer. You do not have to pay for a lawyer. But I question that because this thing is pretty technical. And if you don't get it right the first time, you're out the door.
Hold up for a second. Now, you're saying that the money he's putting there for all people, that you don't have to have a lawyer. You still have to pay to get the money. You're saying that it's very technical, and a lot of black folks are going to make some mistakes, and we have to watch that because folks play games with us like that. So you're saying that it's very important that they hear that you said this is tricky because of the application. Go on.
Yes, but this is the good news, Dorothy, Sister Dorothy.
Uh-huh.
They have set up in every part of the country organizations that will provide these services free of charge. For example, in Alabama, I am actually working not as a private attorney. I'm working as a consultant with the Federation of Southern Cooperatives.
Okay.
And the Federation will provide
what is
all of
Wait,
these services.
Tell me what it is. My audience didn't know what that is. What is the Southern Cooperative? What is that?
The Federation of Southern Cooperatives is a nonprofit organization that was started years ago. You knew Sherrod.
I know. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, what happened was after this, during the Civil Rights Movement, at the edge of it, they started the Federation so that black people could move from political freedom to economic freedom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this organization has been in business for a long time and has been fighting for black farmers a long time.
Right.
So this organization is not the only one. It only will serve 7 states in the South. There is another organization
that
will...
What 7 states are those? People listen to me from all over the country. That's why I'm just trying to get some. What are the 7 states that are...
Okay. Of course, Georgia, Mississippi, Kentucky, Tennessee. Did I say Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee? Alabama, mm-hmm. and Louisiana.
Okay.
So those are the states in the South. Mm-hmm. But these stations will be... There is no place in the country, including Alaska and Hawaii, where there will not be an organization that will provide these services free of charge. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you the names of the organizations that are in the other states.
Is there some place they can get? Is there some place they can get?
Yes,
that?
They could go on the. There's a website they could go to that will give them that information. But let me concentrate on some more details.
Okay.
Because these rules apply no matter where you go.
And then you'll come
but
back to that, right, after you get the
rules. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes. I think it's important that people realize that this service will be given free of charge. Now, it is not against the law for a lawyer or some organization to charge it. I want to caution people. Doing pick the 1 and 2, many of our people, I did things I think were unethical. It was not illegal, but unethical.
Okay.
They would charge people to fill out an application. Mm-hmm. Many times it was a membership application. People did not read, and they thought they were applying to participate in the PICPA lawsuit where they could get money. It was simply a application. As a matter of fact, an organization out of Tennessee, I think, made a lot of money doing that. But it's important that people know that they can go to an organization, that they can get these services free. But let me give you the criteria, because this is really important. Who's eligible? As I said, you have to prove that you tried to farm. Not prove. You have to present some evidence, because I think the bar is pretty low. But you have to show some documentation, some evidence that you farmed or tried to farm, that you applied for a loan, or you tried to apply and you were rejected. Before January the 1st, 2021, again, January the 1st, 2021, if you applied or tried to apply for a loan, or if you received a loan but it was dreadfully inadequate, and this was before January the 1st, 2021, you might be eligible for up to $500,000. $500,000. Now, the good thing about this administrative process, you can go back as far as you can. So if you're still living and you try to get a loan in 1950 to buy farmland or to operate a farmland, going back to 1950, mm-hmm. you still might be eligible to apply or to participate in this program. You have to, however, show some type of discrimination. I say, show. You know what kind of proof you're going to have. You're not going to have somebody on tape saying, I rejected you because you're black.
Right.
And that's why I think you need assistance. I interviewed quite a few people yesterday in Alabama. And many of my people don't quite know what discrimination looked like sometimes in slavery. But they stopped calling us the N-word a few years ago when they found out we have the right to vote and we have the opportunity to boot them out of office. Like in Selma, they don't call us the N-word, but they still treat us the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, many black people in some majorities still vote for white racists. It's unfortunate. But let me get back to the point.
Right. In white racism or black folks who ain't gonna represent them. Go on.
you got my point.
I got it.
That's why I think you need someone. For example, I talked to someone from Lowndes County yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lowndes County didn't have a single black voter before the 65 Voting Rights Act. So the whole county was discriminating against black people.
Right.
So it's good to know the history of the county. It's history. It's good to know the history of the people who were working for the Farmers Home Administration. Without a learned person, doesn't have to be a lawyer, but without a knowledgeable person, you might not be able to actually show that you were discriminated against. You may have been discriminated against because you were a female, and you might know other black men that got the loan and you didn't, or who got an application and you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may know people who without disabilities that got a loan, but you walked into that home office with on crutches, and somebody may have said, well, how can you farm? You can't even walk. Well, that's a sign of discrimination.
That have nothing to do with him owning the farm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just giving you examples, Sister Dorothy,
uh-huh,
of the types of discrimination that you can. You might be a Muslim, and somebody said to you, well, we don't give Muslims applications. They may not have been as blatant.
Well, wait a minute, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a lot of farmland and was doing a lot of stuff. So that kind of goes back to when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to do farmland and get money to build that farm and for them to keep that. That goes to them, too. I'm going to call the minister.
Listen, they got a lot of cases.
Okay.
Please call the minister because you know they were rejected time and time again.
I'm going to call them, and I might have somebody. I'll call you. Whoever's going to call you, I'll let you know.
Well, I'm trying to get a audience with Minister Farrakhan. I haven't seen him in years, so if you can help me set that up.
I'll see. We'll talk off the phone on that road.
Okay. But anyway, I am sure many people in the nation have rightful claims, and each of those claims might be worth up to $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So please, but that's just an example. Religious discrimination. You may have been discriminated against because you were a homosexual, because of your gender. And again, somebody might have said something like, well, why do you talk like that? Why are you dressed like that? You know, they don't have to come out and say, I'm not giving you an application because you're gay. No, it's much more subtle than that. So that's why I think it's really important that you get someone to assist you in filling out that application.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were successful in Pick 1 or Pick 2, you still might be eligible this time around. Let me explain that briefly. If you were participating in Pick 1, let me give you an example. I represented new communities in Pick 1, and they had a 5,000-acre farm. The Sherrod went around the country and raised $1 million to buy 5,000 acres. Well, we were successful in getting new communities a $14 million judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounded like a lot of money.
But
when you think about it, if they had a 5,000-acre farm and they lost it because of massive discrimination by USDA, they probably should have gotten $50 million.
Right.
So they could reapply, and you would deduct the $14 million. But to be honest, the most they could get under this lawsuit is $500,000. Well, that's not quite true either, Dorothy. Let me explain that point.
Okay.
Their initial award might be $500,000, but I was told that they don't intend for any of this money to go back to the government. In the last lawsuit, Tipper 2, Hank, who was one of the lead counsel, because he was in the driver's seat, was able to make sure that money that was left went to farm organizations like the Federation. This time around, any money that's left, I am told, will be divided among all the winning parties. For example, if $1 billion is left and you only receive $500,000, well, they have a formula. They will divide the remaining money among all the winners. So you might end up with $1 million anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the type of nuances of this litigation, not this litigation, this process, that requires you to have a deeper understanding. So that's why it's important to contact the people in your region that will be serving the people in your region. In Alabama, I can tell you now, if you're in these seven states, it's the Federation of Southern Cooperatives. Their national office is located in Atlanta, Georgia. So just call the Federation of Southern Cooperatives in Atlanta, Georgia, or look them up on the Internet, and they will give you information as to when and where you can fill out your application. Now, this application is online, but I don't advise people to try to do it by themselves. That's just kind of summary, Dorothy, of what this litigation, not this litigation. I keep saying litigation. It's not litigation.
Okay.
That's a nutshell.
Okay. Well, can I ask questions now? Are you through teaching?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, okay, you said regions. How is it broken down to regions? Do you have the list of the regions? Like, where will Illinois fall in at?
I don't know. That's why you have to go on the website.
But Illinois is part of that region.
Illinois is not in my region.
I know,
South.
But it do have a region here for Illinois.
Oh, yes.
Because you got a lot of black farmers like the Pembroke and all of them that's out there.
Yeah.
Kankakee, we had folks in Kankakee with farms and all of that.
Let me say this. There are four regions. The country has been divided into four regions.
Okay.
And each region has four people who are assigned to set up meetings throughout the regions so applicants can come to those centers and apply.
So how do they find out their regions?
There should be advertisement. On your station, they have money.
Well, we need to get them. I'm going to talk to you about how I can get them to advertise on our station. We need to have them.
Well, they're not even advertising on my station there because it's just kicked off last week, and they're far behind. But I think that you should, all the black media, should come together and make sure that they're getting their percentage of the media advertisement because our people listen to radio, and a lot of them are not connected to social media.
Rose, so who do they contact to make sure we get the advertisement? Because I'm going to make sure VON because we all over the place. Who do they contact to get the advertisement? Is it the government or somebody else?
There's an administrator over this whole program.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, I don't have that information with me. I'm in a car.
That's all right. I'll get it from you later.
I will get that information. But all they have to do is to go to the government website and then type in or whatever you do on computers the Inflation Reduction Act for Farmers Discrimination.
Okay.
And that will take you to the information you need.
Okay.
It will tell you who the administrator is, how to contact them. And I do think it's important for black media to get together to make sure that the black press, including newspapers and radios, get their share of this advertisement information.
Well, you would think like that because you're from Alabama. You know how to – you know who you – and let me come back to you. Now, I think you just answered me in that.
Let me tell you who this lawsuit does not include, and this is real important. In Pickford 1 and 2, you could apply on behalf of a deceased mother, father, spouse, or relative. That is not true this time around.
Okay.
Many of the people applied as heirs, but I think I have a way around that for some people who co-farmed with a deceased person.
Okay, I got you.
But that has not been approved yet, and I'm fighting for that. And my argument is this, that if you farm with your husband and your husband went to the office and he was turned down or he was given an application but did not get the loan or he got the loan but it was far too little, as a co-borrower, I think that you should be able to apply on your deceased heir, as a deceased heir.
That makes sense.
The application, the way it's written now, is not written like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to fight hard for that with the Federation.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something else, Rose. The Pickford, what does that do with the other? This doesn't negate the other lawsuits that's going on, right, on behalf of black people, does it?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, tell us about some of the lawsuits, because I know you was fighting for a lot of black farmers for a long time. Can you tell us some of the lawsuits that might be going on, because folks are listening?
Well, most of the law, all of the lawsuits I was involved in are over.
Okay.
That's Pickford 1, Pickford 2, the women's lawsuit, the Hispanic, and the Native American. All of those lawsuits have concluded.
Okay.
But the good news is, even if you were turned down, mm-hmm. a lot of women were turned down because people did not know how to process their application.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were turned down, you can apply again. Or even if you were not turned down, but you didn't get a sufficient amount of money that reflects your losses, you can still participate in this administrative process.
Mm-hmm.
You have until October the 31st, and they will not look at any of the applications until all the applications are in.
Mm-hmm.
And when all the applications are in, then they will decide who's eligible. And, Dorothy, I believe if they don't have a lot of applications, I think the burden of proof is going to be quite low. I think that the Biden administration wants to make sure that anybody with a plausible claim gets some relief. It's not reparations. But
oh, no. Uh-uh. No, it's not.
Not reparations. Don't confuse this with reparations.
Uh-huh. This is him saying, I'm going to go do this and include everybody and let it go on and be done. And so let me ask you about the that money.
Let me say one thing, Dorothy, before you take that. I think you should... The president should be applauded for this strategic move. I know he's being criticized, and there's a lot to criticize, but he knew that if he just restricted this to black farmers, there would be another lawsuit, and you wouldn't get nothing, because by the time it goes through the courts, I'm sure he might even be out of office.
Well, let me
I think it was. I think it was strategic.
I think he should be applauded, but I also say that all of the farmers throughout this country, of course he's going to make sure that was a very smart move on his part to do that so that we can move on. But like you said, the other lawsuits are still pending, right? So that's the other lawsuit that's going on. You said that does not negate
yes, that what happened was the white farmers sued the government on reverse discrimination.
Oh, I followed that. I really did.
Yeah. It's so sad. Just let me make a point right quick. You know, I went to Harvard. And we were excluded from not just Harvard, but universities. I couldn't even go to the University of Alabama, no matter how high my test scores were, because blacks were not allowed at these universities. And yet the Supreme Court, with the vote of Clarence Thomas, has said that Harvard or any of these schools cannot consider years of systemic racism. We're not behind or making lesser scores than the Asians or others because we're less smart. We have had less opportunities. Asians are 7% of the American population, yet they're almost 30% of the students at Harvard.
Well, not only that, Rose, that's what me and you'll be doing our little struggle. We fought for affirmative action. We fought for all the things we fought for, and they included all these other folks that get affirmative. Then you end up with white women and people of color and black folks left out. It's not like when you went to Harvard and all of that. Now we're really left out because everybody that's in that minority stuff, we're left out. Mend it, but don't end it. So your children, and I know how hard you, I'm so proud of you done your children. Your children, all our children just don't have, some of them don't even have an understanding, but they don't have what you had and what we fought for because everybody's part of it now. And they have not suffered like what you're talking about what happened in Lowndes County. That's where my daddy was from. That's where he had his whiskey still at, bro. But he's from Lowndes County. And he wrote so funny. You're going to love this. My daddy left Lowndes County because they caught him with a ready-rolled cigarette. That's why my dad ended up in Montgomery. See, people don't understand that. A ready-rolled cigarette, because you're supposed to have Prince Albert or something roll, and they caught my dad. That's funny, isn't it? But you know it's true, don't you?
It's not laughable. You know, we have to laugh to maintain our sanity. But these people are determined to take us all the way back while our people are sleeping. Dorothy, you would be really disappointed at the lack of activism in Selma and Alabama.
Oh, no, I won't, because it's all over the place. It's all over. Mm. And that's because they've gotten our people eyes off the prize. And
yes,
I've always
yes.
said, Rose, that, and I mean it, that I never in my lifetime have I not seen a group of black folks, present company excluded like you. We've always had folks with an agenda for black people and Woodward and fighters.
Yes.
We don't have that anymore. That's why you have such a...
We don't.
We don't have, and that's what we got to get. But we're going to talk about that even more. My audience wants to say a few things to you, Rose. I want to love you, give you love. My special love for you is the way you picked up when after the Selma movement, all of us, I was this band somewhere, we was all over the place. And you said, no, this have to happen. We cannot let this die. And it was you who began the march across the bridge on the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. If you had not done that, we would not be going to the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. And I really thank you. And I know what you and your children have gone through in Selma, you, your children, your husband, and all the stuff you've gone through fighting on our behalf. You are the one who put together the Civil Rights Museum on the Selma side of the bridge. I think you let someone else do it now. But who put together and kept that history and kept Reverend Bevel and everybody's name out there, and how you don't let the history of Reverend Bevel die, and how you have done. I want to, as one of the people that was on Edmund Pettus Bridge and one of the foot soldiers, and I got my medals at foot soldiers, but to say that Rose, Attorney Rose Sanders and a group, said, oh, no, we're not going to let this happen, let this die, and we're going to begin this march every anniversary. And you begin, even though you're not in charge of that now. Who's in charge of that?
Yes, I am. I am, but I'm trying to find someone to take it over. I've done this as a volunteer for 30 years, except 1 year. And we are really looking nationwide for someone that's willing to come to Selma to do this, because this must be institutionalized. It cannot die with my death. And most of the people that work with the Jubilee are volunteers. It cannot continue that way.
Right.
So we really desperately need, and this is a nationwide call. And I want to say this, a lot of people still come to Selma, but what hurts me, Dorothy, they will cross that bridge, they won't come into that museum, they won't buy a book, they don't want to know the history. It's
Hello, Rose, are you there?
Uh-huh. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I was with a group last week from Texas. I said, look, these are the stories of the people that were on that bridge. They didn't want to buy the book. They just want to cross the bridge.
Yeah, so they can say
Selma is.
Go on.
They won't even come into the museum. So Selma is now one of the poorest cities per capita in the country.
It is.
One of the most violent per capita in the country. Oprah Winfrey came to Selma and left nothing. Obama came to Selma 3 times and left nothing.
Uh-huh.
Many politicians and elected officials leave nothing. And our foot soldiers return year after year. They're not recognized. There's not a single course in the Selma school system about the civil rights movement, not even an elected course, even though the board is all black.
Well,
we're in serious trouble. As the Trumpites follow their leader, even though he's a rapist, even though he's a treasonous, he can do no wrong.
Well,
and yet we have abandoned those leaders that will fight for us, like Dr. Wright, like Farrakhan, like Jesse Jackson. That's what bothers me.
Well, I think that, like you really want to talk about the movement, how you leave Bevel and everybody out of our struggle, you know. But, and those foot soldiers, and a lot of us, you know, James Orange is gone. You know, every time, like, you don't know Charlie Love, he was living in California, he's part of Bevel's staff. Like, I was looking at how many of the people that was part of Bevel's staff who have died, any but a few of us left, how many people who's part of Jose's staff that have died at that many left. And just totally, the people in Selma, just the people that period, how many of them are there and they're gone. But, you know, that's one of the things, Rose, that's why I love you, my sister. I talk about it every week, and I talked about it at the beginning of the show, that those who reap the education, the political, and economic benefits have not given back. We have the money. We have more money than I ever had. But those people, like you said, Oprah came and misrepresented us when she did that movie, because she still didn't tell the truth, came and left. She had money where she can come and build up Selma. I was there when Obama came, because he made sure that I said, he said, no, no, no. They his security wouldn't let me come. I didn't want to march up there anyway, but I was there because you was honoring the foot soldiers that year. So I was kind of there that year with the foot soldiers being honored. But everybody comes and nobody leave nothing. And that's what I was talking about early. They reap it and they don't give it. And other ethnic groups do that. We can't get mad at them if they do that. Rose, I want to take some phone calls. I had this brother, Cleveland. Bet on the line since 6 o'clock because he want to talk to
Ruth. Well, let's take his call. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to take him first. He said, just put me on hold, Dorothy. I just want to talk to Rose Sanders. Okay. Cleveland.
Hey, good morning, Dorothy.
Yeah, that's Rose. You got Rose Sanders. I told her you've been on
the line. And I just got to tell you how much I love and thank you for keeping Dr. Bell out there. But Rose, you my kin folks, I think, Rose. You and Hank, but listen.
Yes.
I'm the elder son of Commissioner Little from Utah. And, Rose, I'm going to tell you, the work that y'all did for us, my God, there's nothing short of Jesus could have done what you and Dorothy and them did. Y'all came down and helped us with Thomas Gilmore, the first sheriff we got. And right now, I'm coming. I'll be down there the second week of August, Rose. And I want you to tell me when I get off air what you want us from Utah to do to help with what you all doing, because I can't believe that I can be up here this God-given day and have two giants like you and Dorothy too. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a plaque in our courthouse. Well, they took it down, but they got to put it back. And it said the 8 men that changed the South. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. Those 8 men, my daddy was number one, we're Commissioner Little. Those 8 men changed the world because of what y'all did. And I will never forget you. I love you, Rose. And you give Hank a big hug for me. And make room for me now. I'll be there the second week of August.
Okay.
That's in a couple of weeks.
Well,
I'm coming to see you.
I'm going to have Dorothy to give you my telephone number. I'm going to give her permission to give you my cell number. And I want to personally see you. Yes, thank you so much for all you do.
Hold on, Cleveland, and I'm going to let her answer you, too. My engineer is going to give you Attorney Sanders' cell number. She gave me permission.
Dorothy, thank you so much.
Okay.
I love you so much.
I love you, too.
Dr. Bevel introduced you and I.
Yeah, well, I love Reverend Bevel. Reverend Bevel, he don't get enough. It has not been James Bevel. Because everybody
don't
know the real story that happened in Selma. Because Jimmie Lee Jackson and what Bevel said, we're going to go across that bridge, you know.
Yes.
And they just don't tell a story. They mix it up. Put him on hold.
Right.
Give him a Rose. Give him Attorney Sanders' phone number, please. Okay. Whew. Rose's man was on hold for the longest. Now, you want to answer or say anything to what he said? He said, talk about Utah and stuff. You want to respond to him?
Well, you know, Utah is still struggling, still fighting. As a matter of fact, they just honored Fivey Gordon there last week, and we just had a 21st century camp. And this, to me, is the best news about what's going on in Utah. The Green County Democrat is there, still one of the most progressive papers in the state. And what really inspires me is that we just had a 21st century camp at Selma University, and one of the young men that came up to 21st century was one of the camp leaders. So to me, the Zippers are still there fighting. Bobby Gordon is still there fighting. And we're still there fighting.
Yeah,
but
I love that,
there's so few of us that are fighting, but we're not giving up. We're not giving up.
Yeah, and like you was talking about how we put folks in place. And didn't the mayor of Montgomery have you arrested once? Didn't I read something about you being arrested in Montgomery? You was up there trying to deal with our people's stuff.
Well, it wasn't the mayor directly, but this is what got me, Dorothy.
Uh-huh.
We
do have a black mayor of Alabama. I shouldn't have said the mayor.
We have a black mayor.
Uh-huh.
No, we have a black mayor, Mayor Reed, and I'm very disappointed in him.
Because you knew his father. I knew Joe Reed, his father. I went to school with him.
I think Joe Reed is more progressive than his son, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was. But Joe Reed, Joe Reed was one of the first council members after we got the Civil Rights Bill passed. But go on.
No, Joe Reed has done a lot of progressive things in Alabama, but his son, to me, in my humble opinion, I heard him give a speech, get in good trouble right after I was arrested along with, you know, another courageous sister from SNCC, and we had just taken over the state house because the governor would not pass, we didn't take it over, she would not pass Medicaid expansion, and all of us was arrested along with the mayor of Tuskegee, but guess what? They only strip searched the women. And when I say they strip searched us, I was 77 at the time, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been so humiliated in my life. And when I contacted Mayor Reed, he was so insensitive. And I said to him, how would you like for this to happen to your mother? He said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of politicians that we have too many of in Alabama.
Well, we'd be so happy to
have people.
We just be happy to see black folks. We don't care what they're doing. They face is black.
Yes, we got to stop electing people because of their race. We need to elect black people who care about people.
Yeah.
And believe in equity. See, we have black politicians
equality.
Who believe in fairness. They say fair. Well, it's not fair. If someone has a 300 head start and you get in the office, well, 300 years behind.
Because they scared. They cowards. They cowards, Rose. Bevel said that I'm going to go to the phone, and I'm running out of time. Y'all don't take forever. But let me. Bevel said that black folks got to be careful about following black devils and missing another angel who might want to help. Bevel said that. I love it. Hold on. Let me go to the phone now. Oh, Chris, you've been waiting a long time. Brother Chris.
Good morning. Beautiful call and topic. Also, there was a lawsuit about Monsanto selling bad seeds to the black farmers, and they ultimately lost, you know, their farms.
Okay.
Also, we got to be wary of black politicians like the Tim Scott. Also,
okay. Now I'm not. I want you to ask your question about this because my board is lit up, and I want your question. What's your question, Brother Chris?
My question is, we got to run away from politicians who claim there's color blindness and you know,
okay,
no racism.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Reverend Witherspoon. I see Reverend Sampson's on the line too. Reverend Witherspoon.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Mm-hmm. Good conversation. I just want to encourage you. We keep fighting this sister. This whole sister is racist. We fight racism all over the world. We keep fighting. Thank God for your death. Keep the good work up. We're praying for down south. We know all about it.
Down south and up south. Thank you, Reverend Witherspoon.
All that. God bless you.
Keep
your work up.
Down south and up south. And I got, let me get Reverend. Thank you. I see Reverend Sampson is on the line. Okay. Let me see, Reverend Sampson. I'm running out of time. Reverend Sampson.
Yes, just want to say God bless the both of y'all.
Uh-huh.
I got two of the most important sisters in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to thank you, Rose. And
hey, Reverend Sampson, I know this boy.
I know that boy.
Yeah.
That's Reverend Sampson.
Yeah, God bless the both of you. And Rose, whatever you need, touch base with Dorothy, and I'll be glad to come down, you know, free of charge. You know me. We still in the movement.
Reverend Sampson, she was talking about the money that's available to black farmers. I know you've been working with black farmers.
Right. We have I have a George Washington Carver Department of Agriculture at my church.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the
farmers. Wow, is that awesome?
Uh-huh. It is awesome.
So whatever you're able
to make sure. Make sure that every member of your church that might be eligible for this money applies. You are probably capable of with helping them with the application, but you need to make sure they apply before October the 31st. I'm sure some of them will be eligible.
Okay. If you would get the information, I'll leave my information with Dorothy.
Well,
but,
let me ask you this, Sam. The farmers you're working with, that's what I want you to do. Where are the farmers? What city or states are the farmers?
Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Okay. Rose said she was kind of working with the Mississippi and Louisiana.
Yeah, I can help your farmers in those. We can help those farmers in those states, Doc. So give him my cell number off the air, too, so we can get together.
Okay.
Because he really can help me in those states.
Okay, I'll call him. I'll talk to Samson when I get home.
And I'll call you this evening. With the man on the phone.
Well, no, she's on her way to it. Call her next week. She's on her way to Atlanta now to meet with these people.
Yeah, but my point is she can pick up the phone wherever she is.
Okay, but if I'll give it to her, Samson. And let me tell you something, Samson. Mm-hmm. When you call and she don't answer, just keep calling. That's all I got to say. I'm going to give you her cell number. Okay, Samson. When you give her Samson
all right.
her cell number. Okay.
Okay, dog.
And Samson, I'll talk to you
all
later.
Right.
Rose, I tell you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Samson. I have enjoyed you, and my audience have enjoyed you. And you got to come back and give us an update. And I just want to.
I will.
Yeah, and I want to give you some flowers. I really do. Because as a member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and a field staff organizer and part of the direct action under Reverend Jim Bevel, to thank you for maintaining our history. And I came down there, I think, Rose, when the no more calls, y'all. Y'all have to get up. Y'all talk to her next time. No more. Okay. I came down there, and I remember all the chaos and how they did the stuff when Obama was down there. So, I mean, how they did people, including you. And then when it was over I mean, I said, wait, this is a lady who did it, but it was really something. I didn't worry about, I just forget this stuff. And also, what Oprah did to Femin, rather than consulting people like you and people who really know, they put a narrative here that folks think that's what Selma was about. I remember talking to Diane, and she had got an advanced copy, but of course you can't show it to nobody, that Oprah had sent. And she disagreed with that stuff was in there. And that stuff was all messed up, even how they did James Owens, Dr. King. Everything was a narrative. And then you don't hear no more about it. I dare her. There's no way. All the different people that she give money to, that Selma itself, even a percentage of that film should have went back to doing something with Selma. But that's what I'm talking about, Rose, as a people.
But you know what? Let me say this right quick. I actually talked to Oprah on the bridge. She never would even come into the museum. And you had people like Albert Turner and C.T. Vivian, Amelia Boynton, they helped me co-found that museum.
Yeah.
I gave her books. I gave her books to read. I actually gave her a tape of the person she was portraying in the movie.
Yeah.
And you know what she said to me?
What?
You expect me to read all this? I don't understand why she treated me so coldly. I presume that she had heard some very negative things about me.
Had nothing to do with you. No. Had nothing to do with you. There's a mentality of those who reap benefits. And I'm going to say this in 30 seconds. When Oprah came to Chicago, Conrad and all of us fought for her to get more time on the TV. We boycotted ABC, did all that stuff. We pushed her with Harold Washington after we helped her get in front. And then Quincy Jones saw her because Quincy Jones was supporting Harold Washington and put her in that movie. And the rest is history. Oprah do not talk about what the black folks in Chicago did. Oprah just ring my doorbell. Dorothy, let's go over to Gladys E. But something is wrong with black folks who make it based off of our struggle that they don't want to give back to that community. But they'll talk about racism and then go hang out with their white folks. There's a sickness there, Rose. I don't know what it is.
I have to say this, though. I have to say Oprah does do some good things. I'm not saying that she doesn't do good things.
Of course
you're gonna say that. I think we have to also be careful. No, but I think we have to be careful also of being too hard on our leaders because they accept everything from theirs.
No, that's our problem. That's our problem. Yeah. We do have to be hard. We expect you that if you make it, that you come back and help rebuild community. We must demand that, Rose. We must. I love you, my sister. I'm gonna have you back. I want you to hear the song. I want you, this is Bevel's baby brother, Charles Bevel, as we go off the air, saying you got the power. I try to make sure I keep a positive thing. I want to tell you, Rose, you got the power, and God is going to bless you.
Oh, you know, we didn't get to talk about that Tulsa case. I know you've already talked about it. I knew they were going to lose. There's no way in the world they will ever recognize the slaughter that occurred in Tulsa. But thank you, daughter. Again, there's so much to talk about.
I know.
I love you and continue to do. Anytime you need me, just call me.
I'll do that. I love you, my sister. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. You got the power. You got the power. Rose Sanders, Attorney Rose Sanders. And so Selma, love her. I tell you, you know, we're all in different places, different times, doing different things, and we went different ways, and some of us got different thoughts about different stuff, but we got one thing in common, and that is that at least we said we come down different roads, but our whole agenda is the liberation of black folks. Black people, you got the power. You're giving it away. Other folks maintaining the economic, political benefits and education, and we giving ours away, letting other folks lead us. Let's look at the power we got. Keep eyes on the prize. You got the power. Dorothy Wright, Tim McCoffey, in a conversation with me every Saturday right here at the great WVOM. Every Saturday. Y'all join me next week. You might be surprised who I am. Know that you got the power. You got the power. Woo! Yeah. In spite of what they do to Rose, she don't stop fighting. Folks talk about what she is, but the question is, what are you doing? Yeah. You have got the power. You got the power, black people.
as a group. And she said, don't be so hard on Oprah. I'm not hard on her, but I think any black that right now that's making billions and billions of dollars is based off the struggle of the roads and all the folks from down south and all over this country, that if they would come back, they have divested in our community. If they would come back and help us rebuild our community, our education institution, our economic institution, just come back and give us some. But we have to demand that. John Johnson did it. You know, S.B. Fuller did it. All our people have always done that. That's why you got Howard. That's why you got a lot of stuff. Black folks have always given back. Come back and give back because you got the power. Find the power to lay that mountain down. Yes, I found the power to make that road unwind. It was always there in my heart and my head. Right? It's right there, y'all. Dorothy Wright Gilmer. Woo, that's James Bevel, baby, brother Charles Bevel. Yeah. Till next week. Dorothy Wright Gilmer said, repair that damage. Reparations now. Repair the damage. Not all this other garbage. Love you. Thank you. I got the greatest audience in the world. And I really thank Rose Sanders. And I thank my audience for listening. Until next week, I'll see you.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
Most economists had been expecting the latest claim numbers to be a bit higher. Last month, according to Bloomberg, black workers in the U.S. made up 90% of a rise in unemployment.
Over the next few days, the Black Information Network will join with our iHeart Chicago office in celebrating the rich history and legacy of Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Jackson recently announced his retirement from the Rainbow Push Coalition, a social justice organization he founded in part in the early 1970s.
Jackson's rise to national notoriety began in 1966 when he joined a movement being led by a dynamic young minister out of the South named Martin Luther King Jr.
Every move I made, whether it was a demonstration or run up to the presidency, I always felt his spirit and somewhere I touched base with him before doing it.
Jackson shared those words with CNN in 2018 during the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination.